that you throw. Don't need to be heard. You know your actions, baby. Speak louder than words. I've got the fire to bring me a cup. Pop the cork and try yourself. When you're empty, I'll
okay, good evening. The K-57 Vet Talk Show. This evening, we're minus one wingman. Sean Watson's no longer with us. But you got me, Johnny G, Atulai, current member of Military Order Purple Heart, and you got across from me,
Tom Devlin. I'm one of the members of Military Purple Heart. I'm going.
And working this... working the booth is Candyman. Candyman, that was some nice music.
Yeah, it's relaxing music for a good show.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When you hit 70 years of age, I'll pass you right out.
Slow down. Okay, doing
it. 1, 2, 3, 4, breathe. 1, 2, 3, 4, breathe.
Yeah, we're live streaming on K57.com, Facebook at News Talk K57, also on channel number 2, the Weather Channel. For those of you out there in Radio Land, you want to call in and tell us something or share an experience, whatever, 477-5757. Okay, what are we opening up with, Tommy?
Well, I knew you were going to go there. I just knew that. Announcements. Do you have any announcements?
What's happening on budget. The budget.
All right. Well, first... any veterans meetings that you know about? VFW meetings, MOPH meetings, or whatever?
I can't think of any.
Okay, all right.
If any of you guys got any meetings out there you want to talk to us about?
Yeah, call in.
Yeah, give us a call here at K57, 477-5757. Okay. So what did you think about the memorial service?
Well, I'll answer that later on.
Oh, we're pushing everything to the last half hour?
No.
That means it wasn't... No, I'm just kidding.
With respect to the budget, I'll make an announcement. Next Wednesday, from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock, they're having the budget hearing in for the local Veterans Affairs Office in the legislature.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if anybody outside is invited. I don't know. I don't have...
No, we're not. We're not politically inclined. Okay. So you guys don't even bother to go down because they'll lock you out under the curtain of COVID, I'm sure.
And hopefully we get some money that we desperately need.
This is what we're going to look at Tim at. Hmm. This is what we're going to look at Tim for. This is his job, and he knows what he's got to do, and I know he's up on it. So the only thing we can do is just wish Tim the best of what he can do.
Yeah, and you can watch it on TV. You can watch it on TV. You can watch it on the legislative channel.
Oh, okay.
It's screened on TV. I don't know what the channel is, but you can watch it on the legislative channel. Yeah. Or you can go to YouTube, and you can put in Guam Legislature, and you can watch it on YouTube. Yes.
Okay. So the budget hearing next
Wednesday, two o'clock in the afternoon till 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Till three. Boy, that's just a short hour.
Yeah. Well, I. My own gut feeling it's going to somewhat be short and sweet. At this stage of the game, this is just my own opinion. If elected leaders don't know what that cemetery and that office needs, we're all in a world of hurt.
Well,
but that's just the way I see it.
I figured the cemetery ceremony was just another dog and pony show. You know, that's all. In fact, our commander for Military Order Purple Heart says we weren't invited, so he's not going. So he put the word out, not going.
Mm-hmm.
Opened the paper next morning. There he is, right up in front. Got a picture. Nick Francisco, Strike 2.
Well, you know,
well, the memorial service we did down at the Skinner Plaza.
At Skinner Plaza for the...
That was nice.
Yeah, that was nice.
And looking around... Mm-hmm. Looking around, I saw a lot of, you know, it's a memorial service.
Yes.
It's like going to a funeral.
Yeah.
It's not a joyous occasion with firecrackers and
but
fireworks going off.
The way Memorial Day has morphed over the years, it becomes that almost to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
That they've lost the reason why we have Memorial Day.
Oh, yeah.
And that's nationwide. That's not on Guam. It's completely nationwide now.
Well, the thing of it is, you ask the general public, what's the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day?
Right.
They ain't got the...
Most don't even know.
No, most don't know.
They don't
exactly.
even know.
They don't really know.
Yeah.
Thank you, Candy Man.
Yeah, they don't.
They're oblivious to it.
Yeah, they
go up to veterans and thank them for their service on Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's not about us. It's about the people that aren't here with us. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
But it's not... The way I feel is, like, if they don't know, just do them that favor and let them know. Like, don't thank me. Thank the person that, you know, that lost their life.
And you know the thing about it, no family on Guam, unless you're far out someplace, every family's affected by a member.
Mm-hmm.
A grandfather, a grandmother, somebody, a dad, an uncle. I got 6 grandsons in the military. 2 of them were at the ceremony, and they helped us raise the flags at Skinner Plaza, my 2 grandsons.
Right.
But you can't say there's no affiliation to veterans, because down at the cemetery, every name that's covered from Sanchez to Titano to Kitagua to Kitachai to Espinosa, they're all labeled down there. They have a tombstone, and they got a label.
And it's unique to Guam to a certain extent because it's a small island, small population. But when you say that, and I equate myself when I lived in the States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people didn't go to veteran cemeteries. A lot of veterans in the States didn't get buried in veteran cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't want to be buried. Nothing wrong with that. They just the way it was. But here on Guam, we've been fighting this battle on this show for at least 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've had various political leaders, past and present, Democrats and Republicans,
mm-hmm.
both governors, past and present.
Mm-hmm.
And we fight, it almost seems that the same words in the same battle, money, money, money. And I'm saying to myself internally, if they understand what we want them to understand, and if some of them are veterans themselves,
mm-hmm.
and they have veterans in our family, we shouldn't have to do a radio show for veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And we shouldn't have to bring them on a radio show or interview them and ask them the same thing. What are you doing for veterans?
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be doing this in 2021. That's how I see it. People can judge it differently. That's fine. Because Guam is somewhat unique. It's a small island, a lot of veterans. You have 2-3 large military bases.
Mm-hmm.
So what I say that the island is an island. What's going on? That's what I say.
Yeah.
What's happening? What aren't we communicating with? Or if we're communicating with you, are you really listening, or do you really honestly care?
Well, you know what culminates this and complicates it is the fact that we got this COVID thing going. And there are a lot of sideline issues, like we just graduated 3,000 students. Where are they going? In the paper, it was the governor who was given accolades that we are the most highly, enlistees in the military service. We got the highest ratio per capita, you know. But we got all these people out of work. And so that complicates things. So everything takes a back seat. And right now, I guess veterans aren't that important. What do you guys say out there in Radio Land? You got something to say?
Give us a call. Tell us.
Give us a call.
How do you feel? How do you feel about elected leaders?
Did you enjoy the Memorial Day? Not that we were out dancing or parading in the street, but something's coming up for liberation. And who was the one that did Pauly Silva's show today? Duenas? Mr. Duenas?
I wasn't here.
Came across.
I don't know.
And they're changing the meaning of Liberation Day.
Huh?
Yeah, they says it shouldn't be liberation.
What are they doing?
They want to name it something else.
No,
you know, not Liberation Day. They completely forgot about what it means. What is the actual thing about? You know, they're coming up with this. Well, they didn't liberate us. Well, you talk to my mother and her sisters, and they all passed away. It was a liberation. I don't care what you say, because they were here. And the problem was that they were beaten. And when the Marines came in and they took them over and they offered them candy and water, as hungry and as sick as they were. That they were liberated. I don't call it what
nothing
you want.
Nothing was perfect, but when you go down to the Gerber Museum,
mm-hmm.
and you see the names, all those names of the young men, predominantly young men, young service members from all the services that were killed coming back to Guam to free Guam from the Japanese. That doesn't mean the military is perfect, but those young men, over 2,000 of them, will never go back to their families again.
No, they won't.
They'll never have children, grandchildren, many of them, because they're 18, 19, and 20.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both know that's the age where you get whacked, because that in the infantry, they're very young.
And what was the age of Vietnam? 18 to 21.
18 to 21. And my average group was 19.
Yeah, the average
group. The officers were 21 or 22.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and before you even got to know their name, sometimes they just, they dropped.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's easy to say, well, we can't. Okay, go ahead.
Stand by. We got a call. Yes.
Okay.
All right, how am I going to do this now? Work me
with. We got Felix on line one.
Felix on line one. Hello, Felix. Hello.
Wanna to like me?
Yes, yes, Johnny.
It's not a local problem, the veterans issue. It's the federal problem. If you guys gonna keep blaming the local government about the veteran issue, man, lax it. Ang gin man COVID, pasa option na state, pasa option na tanong madulula yung veteran. Pasa! Saan na man, ipagawa tayong madulula yung local veteran. Ay, yung gobyerno. Saan na, pag-ahoga, yung madulula yung grime man, ano siya, yung papa, yung demonstration. Saan na, yung ulo, ano siya, madulula. Nah, man, you guys are mistaken, man. After that, there's the problem of who's some gatsung in Shuba. Nah, yeah, gatsung my bad, man, no. Opa, okay, man, look at my who's some in Shuba, that's all that's the cat. And you're not the umzu. Nah, no, you're not the umzu, that look. Hey, it's the good man, mom, you gatsung the representative of Federal Taikwe. Nah, nah, and go, no, man, no, who look at Shuba. Lanam yung what niya, Marino? Yung lahan niya, Amzu? O, pasti na ito, buribaki! Nilisita, medico, tilisita, what niya? Yung lahan niya, toda prescription, at toda pharmacy. Ang ginilisita, ma-teki haga, nilisita, humano, hulo ni Boklo Hospital. Yung lahan niya, siya ito. Ura, good job, we're doing order for the veteran. Yung lahan niya, Amzu? You guys are stupid if you believe they're doing a good job. It's not a lana, it's not a bubuit.
Well, that was an irate customer. And everything that he mentioned about the federales, this and this, they close this, close that, and the accessibility to CBOC. I don't know, but I follow the I's, and I dot the I's, and I cross the T's, and I'm being served. It's kind of a, it's not the old in front of the doctor. We even got things specialties because our population doesn't fit the puzzle. I had to inquire, made calls today because I got two conflicting appointments.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to follow the rules and call VA to do this and do that. And if you got the numbers, then it's not confusing. Just follow the numbers.
It may not be confusing to you,
mm-hmm.
but some of the older veterans, especially the older veterans, it does get confusing. I mean, some of them don't even know how to turn the computer on. The children do, the grandchildren do.
Oh, yeah.
And
I hear
sometimes
you.
They get disjointed. Now, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I got a phone call from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
The Pacific Healthcare System, the VA in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling me to make an appointment for a COVID vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Did you do it?
No, I live on Guam.
So, right. Did you tell them and explain it to them now?
They said, oh, okay. So, I'm trying to figure out, how did they get an idea that I live on Guam, on Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, I'm throwing this out there,
mm-hmm.
have other veterans on the island of Guam gotten anyone, any of these phone calls from, let's say, someone in Hawaii saying, we're giving out the vaccine, would you like them to make an appointment for the vaccine?
Mm-hmm.
Is the CBOC giving out the vaccine? I don't know. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. It's sort of confusing.
I can understand that with the elders. And some of the guys, they get confused.
Yeah, they do.
You know, if that's why it's always good to be escorted. Mm-hmm. Because if you, you know, everybody's got to have some kind of a younger relative, a grandson, a nephew, a niece, somebody, because that's usually the tradition anyway. We take care of our elders. And what needs to be explained can be explained to them. You know, it's not that hard, really. If you can read, follow the sign, you know?
For some, it's harder than others, and, you know, we all fall into that category.
Yeah, I hear you. And
even I can't hear with the damn, basically.
And everybody wants
to. We do sign language
right
to one another,
yeah.
You know?
I understand that.
Yeah, but hopefully the local budget, you know, gets passed, and hopefully it's enough money to fund the office and the cemetery.
And well, now they only got one worker. That's they're paying for.
Are you talking about the cemetery?
Yeah, the cemetery.
Rich Richards, right? No, that's not it. Well, are you working at the cemetery? I thought there's a few of them that work.
No,
there.
There's only one certified worker down there, and they're trying to get some more. Now, they got ladies in the office, mm-hmm. and even some of them are on loan from, I think one's on loan from Gita, and one's, you know. It's not my part to, you know, get into the...
No, because...
The management system,
Tim has,
you know.
We'll have to explain
that's
that.
That's Tim's job.
Next week is to... How many employees are actually Governor Guam employees? How many employees are detailed from other agencies?
Well, you know that paper you gave me, that budget paper you gave me explained everything.
I know,
and
but
it was,
the average
it was
veteran
all,
doesn't see that.
Yeah.
They don't see that budget.
Of course. And they think everything is copacetic.
Yeah.
And it's not. There's a lot of deficiencies. There's a lot of things. And that's and we can't blame Tim. Because it's been ongoing for the last 20 years. And each individual that inherits that position has to work with what he's got.
Yeah. Sometimes they have more money than the previous person, and sometimes they have less.
And I'm not going to get in a pissing match with Tim because I heard it last weekend.
Yeah,
okay, any other callers out there? You want to explain anything about how you felt about the memorial services?
I actually did like how they got, not the services, but every year they do, like, you know, if you guys haven't noticed, biking is a trend now. And so there's a large group of veterans who, like, ride bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that.
Yeah,
I think it was the morning of, I'm not sure which particular veteran organization did it. I know there's Freedom Grinders, and there's also GY671.
Yeah.
And there's a few of them. It's more of a collaborative that did it, but I appreciate it.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Also, every year they do the, like, Ruck March.
Yeah.
And that I like seeing that when it's in numbers. Hold on, let me go take this call real quick.
Okay, we got a caller. Who do we got?
You know what? I'm just going to take this straight.
Okie dokie. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Caller, you're live.
Hello.
Hello. Good evening. This is K57 Vet Talk Show.
Yes, yes. I'm just listening to the program for the last 15, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to give some input, if I may.
Certainly. Go ahead.
Anyhow, you guys are doing a great job. You know, we want to always stay positive here. Although we have our challenges. And I was down at the ceremony this Monday, past Monday.
Right.
And it was nice. The Admiral, the Governor, and everybody else, as normal. They did their thing. I heard three volleys. Is this supposed to be like a 21-gun salute for our fallen?
Yes, there was. There's a 21-gun salute in commemoration of the fallen.
Oh, maybe I missed that because I was right across there and I could see the Air Force group up there. The Honor Guard. I thought I heard three. But whatever. So that's good. Now, with this, the Veterans Day coming up and the preparation also for Memorial Day, I'm not sure if we're able to get out there, especially with the COVID. But if we get out there and try to network with the older veterans and the younger OIF, OEF veterans, maybe we could help out him. Sometimes, you know, just giving back to the fallen is for a lot of us, it's not a big deal. That should come.
You were at the ceremony?
Yes, I was.
What's your name?
Randy.
Okay, Randy. All right, Randy. You're a veteran. I take you're the vet. You're a veteran.
Roger that. Combat vet.
All right. Well, Randy, what was the general appearance of the cemetery?
Well, I saw the bikers, as always. They always do a great job there, representing our vets, parading for them. I saw the dignitaries up on top next to the flagpole. The speeches were great.
Okay, good.
Tim was pretty much the last person to address the crowd. Very sparse. I'd say about possibly 100 out of everybody.
Do you think there could have been room for more?
You know, John, man, from one veteran to another, it's going to take some work. It's usually... I was surprised there was this much because of the COVID situation and the preparation. Home Depot and others, the veterans organizations and just other organizations, they come together and they actually volunteer and help paint, clean, and all this way before Memorial Day. So I didn't really see that simply because of... our current situation.
Well, past three, four weeks, the preparation for getting the
cemetery. Yeah, they've been getting it even earlier than that.
The military were very well represented, especially from the Navy installation.
Everyone, Admiral Manoli, top notch. Great. It's just that. For what we're going through right now, I'm just kind of hopefully we're going to top this off and everybody be vaccinated and squared away. It was a good thing that it happened and it was positive, and a lot of people were there, the National Guard and all that.
Okay, well, Randy, thank you for your remarks, and we got callers that are getting on the line here, and you have a good evening, and thank you for your service.
You too. Thank you. And you guys, we just have to continue to work together. There's challenges. We could continue to point fingers, but I think it's best to just work this out and collaborate and just work with people. Because everyone at this time, we're just having a challenge.
It's a terrible
time. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you, Randy. Good evening.
Roger that.
Okay. Candy, you got us online now? Whatever this? Good evening. You're on K-57 Vet Talk Show.
We have Robert.
Robert.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Robert, you there?
John?
Yes, sir.
This is Bob Corbin.
Bobby, I haven't seen you in a long time, Bobby. How you doing?
Not too good. You won't see me for quite a while because I have an amputation on the left leg above the knee.
Okay.
And I have 100% disability.
Okay.
But I don't. We required me to have a home health aide during the day to help me out with the things I need, you know, bathing and other stuff. And I'm having the biggest problem with these home health aides. Oh. Either they don't show up, or if they show up, they have somewhere else to go. I found out that in the group that was sent to me,
mm-hmm.
none of them was vaccinated. Now, VA makes a big issue about people going out and getting vaccinated, especially the elderly and have, you know, I'm 70 now, and have illnesses, you know, like diabetes and whatnot.
Yes.
Well, I have it all. I have diabetes, high blood pressure, two heart conditions and whatnot.
Amputation. You're lucky to be alive, brother man.
I know.
You know? But in all reality, to get to the bottom of the situation, who is the organization that represents this healthcare?
I can't say the name because I might...
No, the organization, not the person.
Filing formal charges.
No, ain't nobody... Well, we can't fix the problem. We don't know... you know, we can't come to an answer. We don't know what the problem is. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, 1 second. Mom, what's the name of the home health agency? Mom, I'm on the phone. I need your help.
Look at us big guys, man. We still
What's
call.
The name of the
we
home
still call for mama.
I think he's talking. That's his wife.
Guam Visitors Nursing.
Say that again.
Guam Visitors Nursing Program.
Visitors Nursing Program.
Yes.
All right.
And they hire people and train them to follow a set of rules and guidelines, and so far
you're unhappy.
Yes.
Okay.
One policy that they have is no fraternizing with the family members.
Okay, well that's
this
standard.
One guy, he found out that my granddaughter, who's mentally and physically slightly challenged, you know, she has to be taught well how to do things and stuff.
Understand.
And he made her run away from home.
Kind of
what happened to the policy of
fraternization?
No fraternizing with family members.
That's
even in the military, they tell us that.
Exactly.
The Chief Scambi tells me that, Corbin, no screwing around the flagpole.
That's right.
And you know, that's an old Marine saying.
Exactly. Exactly.
But,
okay, Bobby, this is what we're going to do. You getting your medications?
I got a ton of medications.
I believe you do. Are you getting the treatment and the care you need from the vets?
I don't know, John. After the amputation, I question whether it was done right. You know, the Navy doctor says to stay in the hospital so they can give me IV.
What'd you do? Run away?
No. They wanted to give me intravenous feeding of antibiotics, but VA felt that it wasn't necessary, and they gave me tablets. But then the sore on my what's on my 2 feet, John, is that's why I cannot walk, is a form of bacteria that eats the skin, and it causes blisters and stuff.
Okay.
And I can't walk on my right foot, even though there's no more blisters and stuff. But there's still sores.
Okay, Robin, Bobby, understand this. We're up against the clock. We gotta take a break.
All right.
Real quick, give me a home phone number. Is that cool? Give me a home phone number.
I can screen it. I can screen it so it doesn't have to pull out.
Okay. Wait.
1957.
Okay, talk to Candy. Candy, but we gotta take a break here for commercials because these guys are paying for the show. But I will get back to you, my brother.
All right.
News Talk K57.
That's the one.
570 AM KGUM Hagatya Guam. News Talk K57.
Food and dietary supplements products discussed on this program are intended to contribute to the daily diet and overall health and are not intended for the use in the prevention, treatment, mitigation, or cure of any disease or health-related condition. Individuals that have or suspect they have illness or wish to commence a diet or exercise program should consult an appropriately licensed healthcare practitioner for medical history evaluation, diagnosis, treatment, and health recommendations.
Hello and welcome to Let's Play Doctor. Dr. Joel Wallach, your host, a veterinarian and physician. And I'm here for kids and baby boomers and seniors who don't want to die at 75.5 like their parents and grandparents. I'm here for kids and baby boomers and seniors who don't want to be sick and miserable for the last 15 to 20 years of their life like their parents and grandparents. I did achieve the rank of Lieutenant Colonel in the Air Force. A lot of people say I treat them like dogs, but they do seem to get better. Now, if you have a personal health challenge you want to ask about, if you have a health challenge of a friend, a loved one, a workmate, or if you want to talk about medical politics or the home-based business opportunity, give us a call toll-free, 1-877-912-PLAY. That's toll-free, 1-877-912-7529. Well, it's kind of interesting here. I'm getting ready to come out with a big article on this pandemic stuff. And, you know, I've been comparing who dies, who lives. Why do people get the disease?
Okay, we're back. K57, that talk show. Your two hosts are myself, Johnny Atulai Titano, and across from me,
Tom Devlin.
And working the booth.
Buenos.
Are we back on channel 2?
I'm not sure, but we have my boss trying to figure that out right now.
Roger that.
Yep.
Okay, there's always a will, there's always a way.
While we're on break, someone did call in and they wanted to, put this as part of your opening announcements.
Okay.
That's what I was asking earlier. There is a Veterans Benefits meeting at the Veterans Benefits Town Hall meeting. It started at 6:30, so it's going on right now. In Santa Rita, the Senior Citizen Center there. And it's for all... Santa Rita.
Okay.
The Santa Rita Senior Center for all interested vets. And that was Mr. Josh Cadahay that made that announcement.
Josh Cadahay. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. We ready to roll?
Attention orders.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back on.
I believe the caller's no longer on the line.
Oh, but the show's on?
Yes.
We are.
We are live.
Okay, Vet Benefit Town Hall meeting in Santa Rita going on as we speak. And that was called in by Josh Cadahay. Any of you veterans down there interested?
Stop in.
Stop in and hear what they have to say.
Yeah.
Any information is good information. What you got, Tom?
Well, I'm going to talk about the information I gave Candy and
K2 Vets.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't beat on me too much if I mispronounce some of these names. There's a country, and it's named Uzbekistan.
Uzbekistan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where is that located? Probably
Uzbekistan.
Probably next to Pakistan.
Yeah, and Russia
all
area.
All those stands.
The stands are sort of located.
Yeah.
Jubistan, Kazakhstan.
Yeah. All those stands over there.
Yeah,
well,
that
general area.
When they were, you know, originally gearing up for Afghanistan and Iraq, they were using a base there. And this base was, was used by Americans. It was basically a supply base where they would fly, Americans in, and then fly them out to wherever they were supposed to go. And they had a lot of hazardous materials that were burnt up, the burn pits.
Mm-hmm.
And now, all of a sudden, they're finding out that this went on, and roughly 15,000 troops who occupied or transited the base may have developed symptoms of illness consistent with toxic exposure and radiation. And it said the United States Army is doing a study to see if this can be verified. And, you know, the study, they figured they won't get any information for about 10 years. I think that's too little too late. You go there at burn pits. We had the burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the veterans, we know what's in those burn pits. It's toxic materials. And I think the U.S. government's got to do a better job with the veterans community when they send them to these places and they just open up these, and they throw everything under the sink in there.
Yeah, well, it was like Agent Orange.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what Agent Orange was.
And
there's so much discussion about Agent Orange.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is, it was there. It's absolute.
Yeah. But how many years did it take for somebody in the Veterans Administration to make a decision that, yeah, it was absolute, it was there? Years and years.
I don't think up to now they've made a definite.
Up to now, they still hem and horn and what it's affecting. And since you brought that up, the VA is going to adjust veterans and survivor claims for possible herbicide exposure based on the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
To those that weren't in Vietnam, to those that were Navy ships or outside of Vietnam, the wind would take it and blow it wherever it is.
Yeah.
And they have a couple of other issues out there. They're trying to basically automatically determine if maybe the person was exposed to it and give them some type of monetary award.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I have the act. I don't think you want me to read the congressional act.
No, any political convention.
You know, yeah, well, you know. And
500 pages.
Yeah, I don't want to do that to you, John, because I'm a hell of a nice guy sometimes. But also, when it comes to VA, plans to expansion of benefits for disability claims for conditions related to certain toxic exposures. What they're adding on to Agent Orange, which wasn't there before, is bladder cancer, hyperthyroidism, and Parkinsonism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that's Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah. So
same name.
They're adding that on to the list of diseases that Agent Orange caused. So that's a good thing.
Okay, once again, this is the Vet Talk Show. We're streaming K57.com, Facebook at News Talk K57. Supposedly, we're getting it corrected also on Channel 2, the Weather Channel. Excuse me. Our number is 477-5757. For any of you out there want to give us a call or ring and give us an idea of what you're thinking about. Okay, the Vet Commission meeting.
Yes, sir.
Let me hit on that real quick.
Yeah, go ahead. No problem.
It was quick and fast. And, of course, once again, the Korean community is asking for the Korean license plate. And we were fortunate. We had PETO. He was there, and he grabbed the helm and said, yes, we can have this thing corrected, Senator PETO. And so hopefully that'll be corrected in the next couple of legislative hearings whatsoever. But the big thing that I picked up on was the fact that still being unrecognized, the Veterans Commission itself, it's like an orphan coming in out of the cold looking for a home. We're not recognized until we get politically recognized and come on as a line agency, according to Tim. And if I'm not throwing you under the bus here, Tim, but I'm just trying to get this thing started so we can get it going the right way. We need legislative assistance. Now, according to Brian Miranda, the past chairman of the commission, he says we just need to follow the law. And I'd really like to hear from these gentlemen in conjunction to work into an answer, because for so many years we've been spinning our wheels and not recognized. You know, our Veterans Commission is like all the other advocates. No, they're not getting paid.
No.
PUAG and GPA, they get $1,000 a meeting per member. Sometimes they call special meetings, so they get extra bucks. For what? I don't know, beer, cigarettes, or gas. Everything's going up so crazy. and radically. But I think Tim's on the right track, but we need to come to conclusion on this, because we're going to be spinning our wheels for the next 10 years.
Well, maybe that's what they want. Maybe indirectly that's what they want. Now, I know a few years ago, I'm talking about a few years ago, we submitted updated rules that we wanted, you know, to update the commission.
Mm-hmm.
And we submitted that to the legislature. That was a couple of legislatures ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably over 4 years ago. And it seems to, for whatever reason, die somewhere with the legislature. It just seems to, I don't know why, but it seems to just die.
Uh-huh. Well, within us veterans, we should have somebody that's knowledgeable on how to move this along. Because we have all kinds of members. We have retired generals, we have commanders. These guys were the administrators, a lot of them administrators. Well, help the Vets Commission and let's administrator to it.
Do they want a commission, or do they want something else that has power to it? The power to hire and fire, you know.
Well, according to Brian,
I don't know. I don't have answers for that.
Yeah. And hopefully, the next meeting, whenever that happens, we're going to have to come to some conclusion.
Yeah, you can't keep it going and going and going. It's like 10 years. You discuss it, you write it up, you submit it to the legislature for them to have hearings or whatever, and discuss it, and bring the leaders in. Now, you can't blame the virus on this. This was going on way, way before this. And you would think by now, good or bad, you know, we're not always going to agree with everything that the legislature does. That's life. But you would think we'd have something that we could update. And then if we want to change it 4 or 5 years down the road, we go back to the legislature and say, let's change it a bit. Let's, you know, modernize it. That's right word.
For right now, I feel we're barking and howling at the moon like a bunch of coyotes, you know?
Yeah.
With no bite.
Mm-hmm.
Give me something to bite. I'll bite anything, you know? You know, with what teeth I got left.
Right, and the problem is, I think, the way I see it, the commission itself has got to get its act together. And I mean by getting its act together is you have various veterans organizations that come and go with the wind.
Mm-hmm.
They go to a meeting, they don't go to a meeting for 4 or 5 times, they don't even send anybody to represent them, you know. And who is supposed to actually represent? You're supposed to have somebody on a piece of paper, two people on a piece of paper.
Well, according to the law, the law is supposed to be out there.
Right, but I'm
not a lawyer. So
no, I'm just saying. And with that, they're supposed to have nonprofit status.
Yeah, whatever status. I don't know what.
No, it's supposed to be nonprofit status. It has to be nonprofit. Now the problem is, if the commission, as an institution, as an entity, doesn't have this information, or when they have an organization that doesn't show up for 4 years, and they just keep them on the books, just to keep them on the books, that doesn't do well for the institution of the Veterans Commission. And that's always been my, if you wanted people to change things, if you're asking people to change things, you got to change things yourselves.
Well, according to Brian, it's a law. There's a law in actuality pertaining to
the commission.
The commission.
Right, there is.
And
but they sent, let's say, information to the legislature to update that law, to change certain things. Who is on the commission? Who is not on the commission? Things like that. It was updated. That doesn't mean it's a perfect document, but it was updated. It was sent to the legislature probably about 4 years ago. Brian never heard anything. I don't think anybody else in the commission has heard anything. So when you go from one legislative group to another, it sort of dies.
Well, aren't you down at the legislature every day?
Yeah, but it dies. It dies in the legislature.
You got any idea on this?
The last thing that I heard was Senator Nelson was talking to some people about it. But that was over 2 years ago. What happened to it? It's another legislative session, so they throw it to the side.
I'd like to find out about it.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, elected leaders, senators, the current senators, the current 15... senators that are there, whether Republican or Democrat, go back and ask your staff, what happened to this document? Where is it? Do you have a copy of this document? Remember, I gave you a copy of the document.
You did?
Yeah. And you had it in your hand at the commission meeting. And
I gave it to somebody. I gave it to
and
somebody.
And the idea is Dan Mandiola was part of the updating that law. Now, Dan Mandiola has been on the commission for years and years. Joe St. Augustine, who's the chairman of the commission,
mm-hmm.
he was the administrator of Veterans Affairs Office when that was, you know, submitted to the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people have an idea of what's going on to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
They may not know everything. So we have to get people in the room, refresh their memories. Who talked to what, when, and where? Do we have an idea of what happened? Follow the trail.
Okay.
That doesn't mean we're perfect, you know, but you have to follow that trail. And if somebody drops the ball, then somebody's got to pick up that ball. And I think that's the problem. People drop the ball, and there's no one around to pick up the ball. And I think that's probably the biggest
And nobody problem. Wants to answer to find the ball.
That's right. You're 100% right. Yeah. So but we have 15 senators right now today.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically brand new senators to a certain extent. We have, I call them 15 old dogs, you know, in there also. We have, you know, other senators. They've been senators before.
Mm-hmm.
So they know the procedure. They know the score. Go back to your staff. Ask your staff. Find this updated paper that the Veterans Commission submitted to the legislature and find out where it is, what happened to it, and does anything in that document, can we change certain things now and update it?
Well, how about you vets out there in Radio Land? Do you got any ideas on this? If you do, we'll take anything to pass it on to the other brothers.
Right.
How much money do we donate to this island?
Over $55 million.
$55 billion.
Donate?
Well, you know, contribute to the budget. What do you want to call them?
What we spend.
Yeah. We're talking about what we get every month from our VA.
Yeah, all sorts of things. GI benefits,
mortgages,
health benefits
on the land, yeah. Taxes,
house loans from the banks.
I actually wanted to talk about that if you guys had a minute, if you guys are knowledgeable on that, because I have a few friends. You know, we're coming of that age where we're purchasing houses.
Yeah.
And so I've actually sat through that VA benefits brief at GCC. For the VA home loan, I want to see what you guys just basically pick your brain about it. If you guys know the process and
well, this is what I would recommend. It's changed. It morphs over the years. You know what John and I got when we were discharged may be different than what you'll get. It morphs. The best people to actually know the details are the banks. Go to the bank loan officer that handles VA loans.
I see.
They're the ones that are trained for that. They know exactly the questions you're going to ask, and they know how to guide you in a certain way.
Yeah, because those the people that did it was these two females that came from Hawaii, and they did the brief, and they were explaining that I believe up to 60% or 30% of the loan is guaranteed. Through the VA.
Yeah. My grandson just purchased a house, and he went through the VA. He's going through the VA.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the details because it sounds so, it's above my pay grade.
Mm.
I haven't dealt with it, never dealt with it, and I don't foresee dealing with it.
To get a home loan?
Yeah, to get a home loan.
I don't see why a lot more vets aren't doing it. That's the thing. It's like,
well, probably a lot of vets. Probably younger vets now,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Can't afford it. They don't have a stable job.
Mm.
They rent versus own, you know, a house. Many cases in the larger cities in the States,
mm-hmm.
they rent versus own a house. It's too expensive to own a house in the cities.
Oh.
Some of these houses go for millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
You go to Hawaii, you talk about sticker shock, it'll drop you to your knees.
Mm.
And this is not a luxurious house. This is just an average house in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt that they had to do something a little more with the veterans by upping the amount of money that they could borrow. But the problem is, when you go to a bank, they'll give you the money because they're guaranteed If you don't pay, they get the money from the VA, from the federal side. Right? All the VA does is guarantee the bank that if you default, the bank gets their money from the federal side.
I see.
And they come after you. You go bankrupt.
And the difference between what's paid and what's not paid, they sell the house again.
Right. So
they get their money back.
They get their money back.
You know, it's all a scam.
So banks generally speaking, do not lose with VA loans. That's why you go to a bank officer and you're a veteran and you show them your DD-214, and then you get your eligibility certificate.
Mm-hmm.
They love you.
You can get that online.
Because it's guaranteed. Yeah. They're not going to lose whatever. Now, I think, I could be wrong, but I heard that the VA guarantees almost $1 million.
Whoa, that's a lot.
Almost, yeah. I could be wrong, but a lot more money. When I got my loan in the States, the VA guaranteed $30,000. So you can tell there's a big difference. Because over the years, the amount of money that the VA would pump into the system went up.
Mm.
So that's what I'm saying. The best person to talk to, in my opinion,
is the loan officer.
Okay,
I'm sure. I've been pointed to that direction several times. Every bank has a specific loan
for VA.
For VA,
I don't want people to think that just because you qualify for a VA home loan guarantees that you're going to get the loan.
No, what
you
the bank
still have to have.
No, it guarantees that the bank won't lose the money.
I see.
What the bank looks at is, whatever your mortgage is, can you afford your mortgage, a 30-year mortgage,
yeah,
when you make a minimum wage?
Nope.
No. So they're not going to give you the whole loan. They're going to say, okay, we'll take whatever the VA, will pay off on, but we're not going to give you any more than that, because they generally will not give you the loan, because even the VA will say, you can't pay off. You have to show us your assets.
Mm-hmm.
Where you work, how long you've worked, and what your yearly salary is. How many children do you have? Does your wife work? Do your children work? You know, for argument's sake, they do a check on you.
Wouldn't they take into account your, say for example, you're 100%? That almost wouldn't that guarantee the loan?
They don't.
Well, I don't know. I'm just
when I got it. Remember, we're going back years now, so forgive me. We're going back a long time. When I went there. And I show them, I get a disability pension, that's wonderful, but that's not income. What do you mean? The VA does not consider that income. It's not taxed.
It's not taxed.
Right? But we love it when you tell us you're getting this in. You're getting this, quote, income. Because now we know you can afford a house and a car.
Mm-hmm.
So we know.
It's non-taxable income, if anything.
Right.
I tell you what, there's no secrecy to what you are and who you are nowadays.
Right, yeah.
Because once you put your name down and they get a hold of your driver's license number or Social Security, boom, they know exactly where you work, what you work, what's your DNA, who's your mother's blood type. You know, it's crazy, the technology today.
Look you up on Ancestry.com and find your whole lineage.
Yeah, I remember one of my stories, and you guys will probably laugh at this, when I got out of the service. I was going to college. I was going to school. I wasn't working. But I wanted a brand new car. So I went to my mother and said, I'm going to go to the bank and get a loan. She said, there's no way you're going to get a loan. You're not employed. So my mother had to co-sign a loan. So I paid the loan off early because, I was getting the money and all that crap. So then I go to the bank and say, I was working. Can I get a loan for myself now? And I have a credit. I have a credit rating, and they say you don't have no credit rating.
Well, really? Your mom does.
Mom does, right? You got 100%. They said you can't use your mother's credit rating. So right now you have no credit rating unless we give you the loan. You said more likely than not we're going to give you that first loan for a car to establish your credit rating.
Mm-hmm.
But you have no credit. You use your mother's credit rating.
That's right.
You had nothing. They did. They gave you the money based on your mother's credit, not your credit. You had no credit. You had nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to be careful when you go to these banks and you... But the bank officers will tell you this. But a bank is there, what? Loan you money? To make money.
Oh,
they don't do it for free.
Hell no.
Tell me a poor banker. Tell me. Show me a poor banker. John.
Yeah, right.
Ain't no such thing.
No such thing. No. No. But yeah, I mean, that's a story, and it's true. Yeah.
It's like the wise man said. He says, "You give a man a fish,
he eats for a day.
He eats for a day. You teach him how to fish,
he eats for a lifetime."
No, no, no. Oh. You just created another liar. Because all fishermen are like lawyers. They're all liars.
Well, you know, going back to burn pits, I think the veterans who want more information on this, they should go to the VA website. Just, you know, go www.va.gov. And there's a web site that you can look at. It's titled Airborne Hazards and Burn Pit Exposures. There's a lot of interesting articles there, but also gives you the countries that these burn pits were in. And you can expand on it, and it gives you a lot of areas where you can actually go on a computer and start registering for the burn registry, the burn pit registry. It's a burn pit registry. Mm. And if you were in a certain area where you feel that you were around it, you can register ahead of time. And this is all on the VA website. The VA website has a lot of information that a lot of the veterans don't realize.
That's all you got to do is sit around and run through that.
They just don't know how to maneuver it, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, who's got the time to do that? Everybody's busy trying to...
I know, but sometimes you have to go to the kids, the young children, and have them do it. And, you know, they're going to...
I want to know, what is a K-2 Army veteran? Any of you guys out there in Radio Land can call in and tell us what a K-2 Army veteran is?
I might have an idea.
What's that?
So, K-2, I think, is the second highest mountain in the world.
Maybe. I have no
maybe
idea.
Yeah.
And then if I'm just trying to, you're on the right. So I believe it's located. I could be wrong. I might be wrong. But located in Uzbekistan.
Where's my phone? I'll call Siri.
Siri doesn't want to talk to you.
See Siri.
Siri was a K-2 veteran. I wonder if that would work.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, the web page for the Veterans Administration, you could spend hours on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you go blind after a while. You're looking at the computer.
I'm sure.
But there is a lot of information, and sometimes the VA prints this information, and it actually informs a lot of the veterans. It tells them what they're entitled to and what they're not entitled to.
Well, it's just like, it's in conjunction. Look at this.
Mm-hmm.
The longer we wait for good science, the more K-2 veterans sicken and die without preventative, palliative care and benefits. This is not about compensation, necessarily. It is about the ability to be assessed and to receive care and actual recognition that our injuries were caused by toxic exposures. Agent Orange.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
And how long did it take us to get that?
Oh, I'm still waiting.
You know,
not that it's going to make any difference.
No, I'm just saying, but, you know. And what about Guam? Was Agent Orange poured all over Guam and the fields? And forget about the military people. What about the citizens of Guam? Were they affected?
What about the waterlands?
Right. The fish and whatever else. I'm not a scientist. I don't know. But sometimes I get the feeling that the federal government wants to hold off, delay, because they don't want to pay off. And by the time they pay off, everybody's dead.
Yeah.
And I say, well, I can't pay anybody, because, yeah, it affected him, but not the... I would pay him, but he's dead.
Well, it's like the war reparations. This guy screaming on a... what's his name show, the one before us? Senator Lorena? He's screaming about war reparations. It was never completed. It was never completed. There's still people out there that are waiting for restitution. But there's all this money coming in from COVID that they want to do what they're going to do with it, you know? So why don't you just put a little bit of that and take care of the problem that we got?
I don't know. I mean, I know I heard the governor talking about she'd like to build a new hospital someplace on Guam, and she'd like to see if she can get a veterans wing in that hospital.
That would be nice.
We would, on Memorial Day. That's when she brought it up. My question is, if you were thinking like this, could you have thought about this 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and made an announcement? You make an announcement on Memorial Day or Veterans Day to get everybody emotionally charged up, as as they say? I don't know. Remember,
Children's Hospital.
Remember the new.
I'm thinking, man. My head is smoking because we don't have a pandemic going on right now. Everybody's in whole situation, mass shots. The percentage, the COVID percentage is 0.1 or 0.some. And then somebody was telling me the other day, they were going through GRMC, every other room's empty.
Wow.
So what, if you're not getting COVID cases, then the place is diminishing, but yet, you open up the posts and the PDN, there's 15 guys dying every 3 days. There's a different set of pictures of people died in. From what?
Underlying issues. I don't know, that's the keyword they always use. Underlying issues.
But on the other hand, somebody was telling me that they still got contract nurses making $140 an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Travel nurses.
Travel nurses, yeah. They still got the contract nurses. But somebody was telling me again, half of the beds in GMH are empty. You know? So what's going on? What's the truth?
I don't think anybody knows the truth anymore.
Yeah,
I think after a while, the truth is, whoever the person you're talking to, they tell you what they believe the truth is. And all of a sudden,
version
you,
of it.
Yeah, their version. And you sit there, and all of a sudden, you get 15 different versions. And what do you believe? And I think as a society, that's our biggest problem today. We don't believe our own governments anymore.
I don't believe anything.
That's just the way it is. I mean, you go down to the Navy base and the Air Force base.
They're still wearing masks.
They're still wearing masks. 90% of them are wearing masks.
Yeah.
And then I have you got the vaccine? Oh, yeah, I got the vaccine. And these are military people. Yeah, but, I don't think anybody trusts anybody in government.
Nobody trusts anybody.
Yeah. And I think that's why they're wearing it. They're laughing about it. They say, yeah, I've got the vaccine. Both shots. What about, they all had the vaccine. This whole row here? They've all had the vaccine, and they're all wearing masks.
I was down at the beach yesterday. Oh, I've been down at the beach for the last 4 days trying to catch minnowhawk.
Mm-hmm. It's out of season.
These guys are running by me with masks on in the hot sun. They almost got me collapsing.
Yeah, because you're breathing the same.
What are you doing? You're out in the open, you're wearing a mask, and you're running and jogging. You're going to die. What kind of jive is that?
I don't know.
Okay, where are we at? Let's get...
On my inquiry with the Eastern District of Arkansas, the United States Attorney's Office, a VA employee was sentenced to prison for stealing veterans' personal information. He worked for the Veterans Administration. And he was stealing a lot of the information. And he got 46 months in prison, plus a fine of about $200,000. I don't know how these people figure they can get away with it. I don't...
Stand by. I got to tell you this.
I almost
got shot for nothing today. Calling in to reschedule this thing.
Right.
And this VA lady says, you're calling in for your husband. Okay, we need verification. You got us a... Social Security, yeah. Last four digits, this and this and this. Okay, so what is your name, ma'am? She says, Bobby. She says, well, we got recorded here. His wife is Lena. The wife's name is Lena.
What?
Right away, Bobby goes, so who is Lena? I said, oh, I want to know who's this calling I'm talking to. She said, Jamie or something. I said, Jamie, you just signed my death warrant. I don't know any Lena. My wife is Bobby.
Oh, wow.
Who's this Lena? Who's? And you could hear a lot. So who's Lena? My baby knows, you know.
Oh.
It was a mistake. But then I thought about ID, they're stealing IDs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's more that goes on in the VA than we really realize.
I mean,
a lot of people get caught. That's true. But I would say a lot of people don't get caught.
Yeah.
Until they do a lot of damage in various... Look at that article I gave you, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
About that person in the VA killed seven veterans.
Yeah.
What?
A nurse.
Yeah, a nurse. Killed him.
What?
Seven veterans.
How?
At a VA hospital.
Wow.
Overdosed their medications. Deliberately.
Wow.
This was deliberately done. Yeah.
And you know, on Guam, we worry about the things that happen in the States because we worry about, is it going to happen on Guam?
Of course.
You know?
It's human nature.
Yeah, because they got copycats all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, you just wonder. I mean, I was talking to people in the VA system about that extension at the Seabrook Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what is that extension going to do? Was it going to be like 10 feet off to the side of the building? You might as well not even have an extension. You might as well just drop it. Don't spend the money. Don't waste that money.
But
it's budgeted, and they're going to spend it on that.
But look at this. Have you taken a ride around the island? There's new renal things. My daughter, Sharita, made a point of this. She just came in from Arizona for her Molly's funeral. She said, Dad, where did all these clinics pop up? They got new clinics. They got eye clinic, renal care, kidney care, dialysis clinics. They're all over around the island now, and they're popping up because we don't have any specialists, you know, but we're getting specialists in these particular clinics, and they're making money off what we don't have available in Guam at the hospital. You got specialists, you got even the dentists. The dentists, they got this new stuff. I went to the dentist today, the x-ray. It's not the normal, you know, put the thing in there and put the thing up there.
Yeah, you like stick a computer.
You stick your head in this thing, and it's like a helmet, and it goes around. I said, my gosh.
Yeah.
My gosh. And it takes your x-rays.
Yeah. And most veterans don't get dental care. Most veterans who get a disability are not entitled to dental care.
Unless you're 100%.
Unless you're 100%. Unless, or you got shot in the mouth and your teeth got knocked out.
Yeah. The higher the rating, the more you...
Right.
You,
but you would say, if you don't have dental care, that affects your health. It's part of your health.
Of course.
But they'll spend millions of dollars on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And because you don't qualify for dental care, you won't get a dime from the VA for dental care.
And
it just doesn't make sense.
Yep.
It does not make sense. So it should be like a one package. The body is a one package.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with eyeglasses and hearing aids. How much money are they going to spend on that, you and I, for hearing aids?
$4,000.
Yeah.
The hearing aids I got, I asked her, I said, how much does this thing cost? $4,000. I don't wear them. They're too expensive, and I'm in the line of duty, and my work doesn't, it don't jive. And then now we got to wear a mask. Take the mask, flip it off, boom, there goes your hearing aid.
Right. There goes the hearing aid.
I think there's a master scheme to all this.
I think so. I think I'm on your side on this one.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Master
scheme. Did the hearing doctor give you a button? Did you get a button from the hearing doctor?
No.
That says you have a hearing problem?
You know,
you're hard of hearing?
We missed a commercial.
Well, that's not my fault.
I'm going to get in trouble.
Knowledge is good.
What's that? Knowledge is good?
Knowledge is good.
Oh, we got a call. Okay. Want me to press the button?
All right. So we have a caller on the line with a question about medical referral to Hawaii. We have June on 9-1.
Good evening, June.
Hi, half a day.
Half a day.
Hi, Tom and Johnny.
Yes.
My name is June. I've been wanting to call in and just get more clarity on the process that veterans have to go through Hawaii for medical and health care treatment. What is that process called?
Referral, medical referrals to Hawaii.
Yeah. Medical referral office is only in Hawaii, right?
Well, no, not really. We gotta know a little bit about the. Is this about you or your husband or?
It's about my brother, whose 1 year anniversary is this month in June. My brother, Anthony Perez, a Purple Heart veteran, died a year ago, waiting for treatment. I just wanna, understand. So I can, I wanna help other veterans. Avoid that unnecessary suffering. And why are we going to Hawaii? I understand it's because We don't have enough veterans registered to have our own local clinic or administration of this process. Is that correct?
Depending on the situation. It depends on the problem that's derived from the patient as to what the particularity is of his illness. Now, if they catch the illness on time and it can be treated, but if it's the treatment is off island, then according to the VA, they'll send him to the proper destination, proper doctor.
Right, but all this process happens in Hawaii, is that correct?
No, it begins here on Guam with his primary doctor.
Right, but does everything go through Hawaii? Because every time I'm talking to my brother, he's waiting, and I just get the impression that there's this black hole of referrals somewhere outside of our control on this island, outside of Guam, and I'm thinking, is it Hawaii?
Basically, the clinic... let's say they need medical treatment in Hawaii. The doctor at the clinic determines that they need medical treatment in Hawaii. So they will refer the patient for medical treatment in Hawaii. Now, Hawaii itself has got to give the okay, even though the doctor on Guam gives the okay.
But if they can get treatment here, do they still have to go through Hawaii for a period?
If they can get treatment here, they shouldn't be sending them to Hawaii if they can get treatment here.
So where is all this delay coming?
The delay is actually in Hawaii in many cases.
Okay, so is there anyone in the Hawaii veterans? What is that office called in Hawaii that apparently is a huge bottleneck for healthcare treatment for veterans? What is that office called?
The VA office.
The VA office in Hawaii.
I guess
they oversee the process that our local. That Guam's veterans have to go through for healthcare treatments, right? So if we can't get that office here on Guam,
right.
Has anyone tried to get a Guam advocate in that office in Hawaii that will only process Guam requests in Hawaii? I mean, if we can't bring Hawaii to Guam, can somebody go to Hawaii and advocate and be the liaison for Guam veterans here?
June? That is a very good question that should be presented before our Guam delegate. But we have absolutely no communication with him. I've tried personally to try to go see him, and the office is closed. Nobody ever there.
Is that decision decided by a congressman's office?
Well, you asked for an advocate. What is the highest advocate we have for in charge of our, besides the governor?
MSN.
Okay, I see what you mean.
You see what I'm saying? Our delegate to Washington, who's in Washington.
Right.
That should be his job. But right now, he's fighting his own battle.
We have a VA administration here on Guam, right? Or a VA... we have a VA representative within Gov Guam, right?
Actually, no.
You had the VA office in Assen. That's the VA representative on Guam.
Okay, that's right.
That's the local Veterans Affairs office.
Right, we have a VA Affairs office on Guam. I mean, does he have a voice in anything that happens to us, to our veterans in Hawaii? Is he able to, or I mean, even the governor, whoever, the governor, the congressman, somebody needs to place a Guam representative into that Hawaii VA administration office to process Guam referrals and Guam requests only, because I feel like we're being given the runaround and we're just falling through the cracks left and right somewhere in Hawaii, because they're having to take care of Hawaii, has to take care of Hawaii. Who in Hawaii is taking care of Guam?
Well,
we're just like getting crumbs off the table here.
Well, that's been the issue for years and years and years.
Yes,
we had the secretary.
Can we deal with it? Can we deal with it? If we're too small or we're too unaccounted for to have a VA health administration office on Guam because of numbers, because of whatever they're claiming does not justify having a VA office on Guam. Then can we please request for a Guam advocate, VA representative, to be part of that Hawaii office so that someone there who really cares for Guam and our veterans is personally there handling and overseeing the Guam process?
I understand what you're saying, and I've been there. I've sat in rooms. I've sat in rooms with the governor, the current governor, lieutenant governor, and the Secretary of Veterans Affairs at Attleope. And these things have been brought up at Attleope, in the conference, the large conference room at Attleope. And the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, oh, yeah, yeah, I understand, I understand, I understand. Now, I don't know if our local leaders are advocating the way they should advocate when these dog, and I call, John and I call dog and pony shows, come to Guam. Because they come to Guam consistently, and everybody runs around with them, and you see Republicans and Democrats running around with them, and the veterans seem to be talking about the same thing over and over and over again. And John just said it. It seems that they can't get in touch with our local congressperson who handles the federal side of the business. And I don't have answers for you. I really don't have answers for you. I wish I did. I wish I had a crystal ball I could give the answer. I've sat in too many meetings and heard the same thing for years and years and years.
Same here, June.
Has the discussion ever addressed this possibility, though, of placing someone in Hawaii?
They said they'll look at it.
I mean, but no action plan?
No, not that I know of.
No delegated authority for somebody to carry out?
No, because the VA is bigger than Guam. Let me tell you that right now. The VA is bigger than Guam. They run their show the way they want to. They're the federales. And to be honest with you, if you knew anything about the VA 20 years, 30 years ago, totally different. No, we're walking and crawling and scratching and we're getting to the top. It's just a matter of time. I'm sorry. I won't see it in my time. I'm at the end of my rope.
If I can interject.
You know? Go ahead.
Just because about her situation, right, where I feel like how you said it was different then than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I just went for medical referral in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I went twice in 1 year, and it was just simple as getting the referral from the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go to the CWOT. Mm-hmm. And they set it up. They're the ones that. But it's basically you're on your own once you get out there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're elderly, you know, you need someone. And I believe they had a program where if you needed assistance, you know, they could.
Yeah, we got a program. GovGuam has a representative mm-hmm. out there. What do they call her?
Referral.
Medical referral.
Yeah.
They have it for the government.
Yeah. We have a medical referral. I believe it still continues for private citizens to get medical treatment in Hawaii and California. I don't know. We still have those offices, and they're still established out in Hawaii and California.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have one in the Philippines too. But I think we need to have a veterans representative in Hawaii, and or someone at least on Guam. Someone on Guam assigned to just handle these veteran referrals out of, even if we handle it out of Guam, but that's all they do. That's all they do is just follow up with all these referrals that are somehow, you know. Now my brother's widow is waiting for approvals after approvals, and I see her. You know, I see her health, you know, continue to deteriorate while she's waiting, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, we're just waiting for what? And is there must be some way to get these approvals to happen before we lose any more veterans and their families that rely on these services. So that's my you know, in honor of my brother's anniversary, I wanted to put that out there. I wanted to understand it myself.
Well, thank you very much, June. You've opened some eyes. You've definitely opened some eyes.
A little better for those he left behind, and I thank you all for, you know, keeping the conversation going on the radio like you are and out there with the community. So thank you, and God bless you for all you do.
You're more than welcome, and thank you, dear.
Thank you
for calling. And call back again whenever you feel that there's something else that touches you in a fashion that's not accommodating with your feeling, what you want to feel. Okay? So you have a good evening, Jim.
Yeah, she hung up already.
Oh, she did. But anyway, the guys in Radio Land know what I'm talking about. Remember, gentlemen, there's another thing I want to emphasize. You guys were warriors at one time. You were tall and strong, buff. What kind of man reads Playboy? But remember, behind every good man is a good woman. Treat your woman like a queen. And that, and I tell you what, you get a lot of honey out of that queen.
Right on. I need to take some notes. Let me get my pen to paper.
You know, John and I were looking at a magazine, a DAV magazine. And then, you know, we were discussing about veterans, what they get, what they don't get, how much they suffer. Here is a picture of an Army person, Bailey Byrne, Morales Marauders.
Yeah, World I remember that. I remember that. They made a movie with that.
Yeah.
I think it was Audie
and
Murphy or something in there.
His hands are covered, his face, whole face area is covered.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy walked in a medevac.
Yeah.
He wasn't in a wheelchair. He walked on his own 2 feet.
Covered in burns.
And, you know, the VA has got to not forget these people. These are young men, for the most part.
Well,
and they suffered continuously. And the idea is not to make them suffer when they get out of the military.
Exactly.
And we have to, all political people have got to own up to it. Doesn't matter whether you're Republican, Democrat, where you're from, you got to remember that. And don't tell me you have family members in the military. Don't tell me what you're going to do. Do it. Talk is cheap as far as I'm concerned. Do it. If you're going to build something, then build it.
That's right.
Don't talk about building it. Build it.
And do it right the first
time. And do it right the first time.
Josh, we become so philosophical when we get older.
It's all you, John. It's you.
We've been around the block, that's
yes.
for sure. Okay, we got...
I'm not sure I understand.
Oh, see, I tried to call Siri and she doesn't understand.
Well, maybe she doesn't understand you, but she understands me.
We got a time frame on this?
It's on the computer. It should be on the computer.
On the computer. I don't see nothing on my computer.
We got about a minute 30.
Okay, Tom, you got any last minute remarks?
Yes. Governor, Lieutenant Governor, I think if you're going to try to build that hospital and you want a veterans wing, I think you have to be more detailed as to what do you want that veterans wing to be.
Okay.
I mean, detail is, you know, who's going to pay for it? Is the VA going to pay for it? Is the VA going to man it? Or are civilians on ground going to man it? But I think the governor's got to just say, well, I want a veterans wing. That's easy to say.
Mm-hmm.
But how are you going to manage that? Who have you contacted? Have you gotten any squeeze back from anybody, whether they agree or disagree with that?
Okay, Tommy.
Yes, sir.
And to you out there in Radio Land, I want to thank you for all the calls. And let's keep the ball rolling. All we are advocates for our grandkids, our kids, and the ones serving us proudly now. So from all of us here, you have a nice week, and we'll see you next week, Wednesday.
Good night, Glenn.
Good night.
KGUM AM Hagatya Guam is News Talk K57.
Is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Meat buyers are scrambling after the largest supplier in the world shut down all of its U.S. plants because of a cyber attack. Brazil-based JBS has told White House it suspects hackers from a criminal organization.